My phone sits on the tabletop, and I instinctively tense when the screen lights up. A quick glance at Dean reveals he's got his hand under the table again. I bite my lip and stare at my phone. "Don't read it," I order myself. I read it. Him. "Next time you put on a show like that for me, you better fucking be naked." 12. Allie. Megan and I get back to campus a little after midnight. My two-bedroom suite is shrouded in shadows when I creep inside. There's no light spilling out from Hannah's door, which tells me she's already gone to bed. Making an effort to be quiet, I gather up my toiletries and duck out to use the bathroom we share with the six other girls on this floor. 10 minutes later, I tiptoe around my bedroom and change into my PJs, then shut off the light and crawl under the covers. I've never had any trouble falling asleep. I'm usually out cold the moment my head hits the pillow. Tonight, sleep eludes me. Dean's sexts left me hot and bothered, and I spend the next hour tossing and turning in an attempt to get comfortable. But I'm not comfortable. My boobs are achy and my pussy is throbbing. Every time I roll over, my nipples scrape the mattress, and the innocent friction makes them ache even harder. This is Dean's fault. Why did he have to text me all those dirty, dirty things? A groan slides out. I roll over again, this time onto my side. Normally, I like to sleep with a part of the blanket tucked between my thighs. Right now, having something jammed down there is an excruciating tease, and my hips involuntarily start rocking against the comforter. God damn it! My tortured voice echoes in the darkness. I roll onto my back and prop one knee up, because obviously I won't be getting any sleep until I take care of business. "You and Your Hand" is proving to be a prophetic song choice. I grit my teeth and stick my hand down my plaid pajama bottoms. Unfortunately, I'm not one of those women who can rub her clit a few times and presto, orgasm. Nope, I need a story. A delicious fantasy to take me over the edge. In recent days, my fantasies have featured my go-to celebrity crush, the perfection that is Ryan Gosling. So it's Ryan I turn to now, in my grave hour of need. The fantasy always starts differently. I'm at a bar, and we get our flirt on. I'm in a hotel room, and there's a mix-up that forces us to share a bed. I'm jogging on the beach in Malibu, and look who I run into. But it always ends the same, with the goss screwing me silly. I opt for the hotel room, since it allows for a plethora of choose-your-own-sexual-adventure scenarios. Tonight, I'm sleeping naked because the air conditioning is on the fritz. I suppose I could just sleep naked without giving myself an excuse to do it. But I like my fantasies to be somewhat consistent with my real life. And since I'm not a naked sleeper in real life, broken air conditioner it is. Okay, where was I? I rub my index finger over my clit as I picture myself lying on a king-sized bed. I'm drifting off to sleep when I hear a beep. Someone swiped a key card in the door. I'm outraged. Did the concierge decide to send the housekeeper up in the middle of the night? Who could possibly be walking into my... Well, look at that. It's Ryan Gosling. He saunters into the room, bare-chested for some reason. His jeans ride so low I can see the glorious man-V of his naked hips. He's surprised to find me there, and we quickly determine there's been a double booking error. Then we have a 5-minute conversation about our lives, in which he reveals that Eva Mendez broke up with him. Yes, there's both dialogue and small talk in my sexual fantasies. Eventually, I climb out of bed and, oh no, the sheet covering my naked body falls to the carpet. Ryan's blue eyes widen with appreciation. His cock visibly hardens beneath his zipper. He licks his lips and steps closer. I teasingly guide my fingers down the valley of my breasts. His eyes burn like liquid sapphires. No, like emeralds, because his eyes are green now. Why are they green? In the darkness of my dorm room, I release a low, irritated curse. For fuck's sake, why is Dean crashing my fantasy? My finger stills over my clit. Okay, well, this is just rude. Ryan and I were about to jiggle down. Dean is not allowed to ruin that for me. I squeeze my eyelids shut and transport myself back to the fantasy. But I'm no longer in the hotel, and Ryan is no longer with me. I'm at a hockey arena with Dean, and we're making out on the ice. Stifling another groan, I shake myself out of the scene and once again order my hand to stop moving. Where on God's green planet is this fantasy going? Ice is cold. Who wants to freeze to death when they're getting it on? And why is Dean kissing his way down my naked body? His practice is scheduled to start any minute. The entire team is going to walk out and catch us.
I like the idea of getting caught.
The groan escapes before I can corral it. Dean's raspy confession isn't part of the fantasy. It's 100% real life. The night I'd asked him why he doesn't have sex in his bedroom, his eyes had gone heavy-lidded. Pure molten sex dripping from his voice as he drawled,
I like the idea of getting caught.
Yep. Dean De Laurentiis gets off on the thought of someone catching him in the act. And did he end the confession there? Of course not, because that would mean he hasn't made it his mission in life to sexually torment me. Nope, he'd followed the first part with,
And once I get caught? I like being watched.
I'm lusting over an exhibitionist. Hell, maybe I'm an exhibitionist too, because rather than stop the fantasy, I let it play out.
You better come fast, baby.
Dean's breath tickles my inner thigh.
Otherwise, my teammates are gonna walk out of that locker room and see my face buried in your pussy.
My breathing quickens. I squeeze one breast, lightly toying with my nipple. My other hand strokes my clit in tight little circles. Oh God, I'm so wet, and my clit is swollen with desire. I can practically feel Dean's tongue swirling over it.
Oh, you like that idea, don't you?
The pad of his finger grazes my opening.
Look how wet you are.
He pushes his finger inside me. No, I'm pushing my own finger inside me. My breasts have been abandoned, and now I've got both hands between my legs, rubbing my clit with one, fingering myself with the other, as I melt into the mattress and imagine Dean going down on me.
Gonna fuck you right here on the ice, Allie.
My toes curl. The pressure in my core is unbearable. In the fantasy, Dean rises to his knees. His chest gleams under the bright lights in the arena. His cock is long and proud. He wraps his fist around the base and leans forward, bringing it closer and closer to where I want it most. And then we hear it. Footsteps, voices, laughter. The players are coming out of the chute. Dean smiles wickedly. Then he plunges that hard dick inside me. And I come so hard I forget how to breathe. I lie on my bed, gasping, trembling. Stars flash behind my closed eyelids as the orgasm crashes through me in hot, pulsing waves. Oh my God. I don't even have the words to describe it. And the sad part? The orgasm that just ripped me to shreds wasn't half as powerful as the ones Dean gave me in person. I'm still shaking from the aftershocks as I fumble in the dark until my hand lands on the box of tissues atop my nightstand. I pull a couple out and use them to wipe between my legs. I can't remember the last time I got this wet during a solo session.
Think of how much wetter you'll be if you fuck me again.
Ugh, I can practically hear Dean taunting me, enticing me. I take a breath. Okay, I'm a pragmatic person, and I aced that argumentative logic course I took in freshman year. So maybe I need to rationalize this out. Premise 1. Dean De Laurentiis is a phenomenal lay. Premise 2. He wants to have sex with me again. Premise 3. The idea of having sex with him turns me on. Conclusion. I should have sex with Dean. All right, that one was easy enough. Now comes the complicated part. Premise 1. Casual sex makes me uncomfortable. Premise 2. I just got out of a long-term relationship and am not ready for another one. Premise 3. Even if I was, I wouldn't want a relationship with man-whore Dean. Conclusion. I'll try another one. Premise 1. I don't want a relationship with Dean. Premise 2. He doesn't want a relationship with me. Conclusion. We should have casual sex. Another no-brainer, but it still doesn't solve the casual sex conundrum. Really, though, if I stop to think about it, the only person dishing out any judgment here is me. Will a fling with Dean make me a slut? He certainly doesn't think so. Neither would my friends. Although I certainly don't plan on telling them about it if I choose to fling Dean. Which raises the question, why do I want to keep it a secret? I chew on the inside of my cheek as I ponder that. The answer continues to stump me, but the idea of everyone knowing I'm screwing around with Dean still brings a rush of discomfort. Fine, it'll have to remain a secret. Maybe tomorrow I can give some more thought as to why I feel that way. Well, shit, have I actually reached a decision? I'm already grabbing my phone, so yeah, I guess I have. I tap Dean's name and enter one word in the message box. Okay. You've got to give the man credit. He knows exactly what I mean, because he types back,
when?
Me. Tomorrow night? Hannah's staying at your place. You can come here. 8? Him.
Kitty game starts at 6. Won't be free till 9.
Me. Kitty game? Him.
Don't worry about it. Tell you tomorrow.
Him.
What changed your mind?
What changed my mind? Insanity, maybe? An unhealthy obsession with sex? His awesome dick? Me. Decided it was time to live the life of Dean. Him.
Took you long enough. So, 9 o'clock work for you?
I hesitate. Me. Yes. God, what am I doing? Maybe I have gone insane. There's a long delay before his next message appears. A borderline hysterical laugh pops out of my mouth after I read it. Him.
I'll bring the rope.
13. Allie. I met my agent, Ira Goldstein, through a friend of my dad's. He's been representing me since I was 12 years old, and the very first gig he booked for me was a cereal commercial. I had only one line, which I still remember to this day. How could something this tasty be so good for you? Yum! I'm pretty sure my dad still has a DVD copy of the commercial somewhere in our brownstone. I hope it's locked up in his gun safe, because lordy, I never want that mortifying tape ever leaking. Ira splits his time between the agency's Manhattan and Los Angeles offices, so most of our interactions take place over the phone. Today, he's calling from LA.
How's my girl doing this morning?
He asks in the booming, jovial voice I've grown to love. This afternoon, I correct. Rehearsal just finished, and I balance my phone on my shoulder as I button up my coat on the way out of the auditorium. It's 2 o'clock on the East Coast.
Ah, right. Fucking time zones. They're liable to make me senile. I never know where I am or what time it is.
I laugh.
You get a chance to read the Fox pilot I couriered over?
Ira is a no-nonsense, business-minded person, which I appreciate. He's also a shark. But agents are supposed to be sharks. And I still adore him, even when he's trying to sell me on projects I know he's only chosen for the money. I skimmed it. It looked like it had potential.
Well, give it another read and don't skim this time. I spoke to one of the producers last night. They're really keen on having you come in to read for the part.
Remind me which part? Bonnie, or was it Sarah?
Hold on, let me check.
Papers shuffle over the extension. He's back a few seconds later.
Bonnie.
I swallow my disappointment. Damn it, I was hoping it would be Sarah. The pilot is for a 30-minute comedy about three girls who hated each other in high school but are forced to room together in college. It follows them as they navigate their freshman year, learning about love and life and friendship while getting into many a pickle. It was described to Ira and me as an ensemble cast, but a well-known television actress has already committed to the role of Zoe, so clearly they plan for her to be the star. The other two roles are up for grabs, but I would have preferred reading for Sarah, the prude who needs to learn how to let her hair down. I could have had some fun with that. Bonnie, on the other hand, is the airhead of the trio. She's got some funny lines, but she's dumber than a bag of rocks. Her flaky personality and one-digit IQ are enough to set women's lib back 1,000 years. But maybe I'm worrying for nothing. Maybe the writers have a meaty arc planned for Bonnie. It doesn't make sense to have 3 female leads but only develop 2 of them, right?
It's the perfect role for you, sweetheart.
Ira raves.
You can play the cute ditzy type in your sleep.
Yes, I can. But I'm not sure I want to. Every role I've ever had has been the cute ditzy type. It would be nice to broaden my horizons, stretch my acting muscles a little. Except this is network television, for crying out loud. I have a chance to co-star in a pilot that, going by the buzz already sounding it, will undoubtedly be picked up for a full season. I'll give it another read tonight, I promise. Then I try to conjure up some enthusiasm about potentially playing Bonnie, but I'm not feeling even an iota of wee. Come to think of it, it's been a while since I've read anything that's triggered my wee meter. The last project I was excited about was the play I did for Brett Kavanaugh this summer.
Casting starts in February,
Ira tells me. I furrow my brow. That's almost 3 months from now. Why did they cast the part of Zoe so early?
They wanted to lock down Kate Ashby before another network could poach her. The producers are wrapping up the final season of their other show, and then they'll be ready to get the ball rolling on this project. They want to fly you out on February 6th.
My stomach drops. I can't. Widow opens on the 8th. We have dress rehearsals that week.
Widow?
The play I'm doing at school. Ira sighs.
Any chance they'll let you skip dress rehearsals?
Not a one.
Shit.
Silence ensues. Ira does that a lot, falling deep in thought for minutes at a time. I think he forgets we're on the phone and not in the same room. Ira? I prompt.
Sorry, sweetheart. Thinking.
After another long pause, his brisk voice returns.
All right, let me get Virgil's assistant on the line. I'll see what we can do.
He disconnects the call without saying goodbye, which is another bad habit of his. He insists he doesn't have time for that crap. 10 minutes later, I walk up the path to Bristol House and swipe my ID at the entrance. I probably won't hear back from Ira today, and a part of me hopes the producers come back and say, "Tough shit. If she can't read on the day we want her to read, we'll give the role to someone else." Which is a crazy thing to hope for, because again, network, television. What is wrong with me? Many things, apparently, because not only am I considering skipping an audition that could launch my career, I'm also planning on having sex with Dean De Laurentiis tonight. Yep, our sex date is still on like Donkey Kong. I haven't changed my mind. In fact, I'm, God have mercy on my soul, anticipating it. I'm even bailing on my workout today to prepare for it. After wolfing down a grilled cheese sandwich for lunch, I call a cab to drive me to the salon in Hastings. Tanya, my mani-pedi wax guru, is ready and waiting when I stroll through the door. I decided long ago that she's a sadist because she's alarmingly gung-ho about torturing my nether regions. We get the Brazilian out of the way first because I don't like having the idea of hot wax torture hanging over my head during my manicure. Once I'm bare as a baby's bottom, Tanya rubs soothing oil over the sensitive area and ducks out of the room while I slip my undies and leggings back on. It usually takes a few hours before the redness down below subsides, but Dean's not coming over until 9, so I'll have plenty of downstairs recovery time, and then I'll be good to go. I leave the wax room and join Tanya at her manicure station. An hour later, I waltz out of the salon, rocking fire engine red nail and toe polish, because I think Dean will get a kick out of seeing my bright red nails scraping his washboard abs. I'd ask Tanya to make them shorter and rounder this time, so I don't scratch the shit out of him again. On the cab ride back to the dorm, I try to figure out whether I'm excited or disappointed in myself. I still can't believe I caved in to Dean's potent masculinity, but I can't deny I'm eager to reacquaint myself with his magical penis. Unless, what if it's lost its appeal? I mean, how many times can you really rub a genie's lamp before its magical powers run out? Or does a genie's lamp hold an infinite number of wishes? Deep thoughts with Allison Jane Hayes, folks. Huh, maybe that should be my television show. By the time 9 o'clock creeps up, I'm ready to, as Will Smith so aptly phrased it, get jiggy with it. I've undergone a beautification process from head to toe. I'm waxed, polished, scrubbed, and lotioned, and I even flat ironed my hair after blow drying instead of leaving it at its natural state of kinda wavy. It feels like a waste to go through so much trouble beauty-wise and then not wear a little black dress or some sexy lingerie. But I figure horn dog Dean is going to rip my clothes off the second he gets here. So I'm in yoga pants and a tank top. No bra, because again, what's the point? But I am wearing panties because I don't like going commando unless I'm feeling scandalous. Sometimes I'd do it when Sean and I were going to a fancy restaurant. It drove him crazy knowing I wasn't wearing anything underneath my... You're not allowed to think about Sean when you're minutes away from sleeping with another guy. Too late. Sean's in my head now. I still haven't agreed to meet him in person, but I know I should probably give him an answer one of these days before he resorts to the bulldozer approach. He does that a lot. Case in point, showing up at my dorm uninvited, which drove me to flee the safety of Garrett's house, which drove me into Dean's bed. Seems like there's a morality tale in there somewhere, a nugget of wisdom that Sean would benefit from acquiring. Push your ex-girlfriend too hard and she sleeps with a man whore. Or maybe it's better if he skips that particular lesson. Besides, it's an unfair indictment on my part, because it wasn't Sean's fault I slept with Dean. It was my decision to do it. And now I'm making the decision to do it again. Dean is 5 minutes late. I fidget impatiently on the couch while I wait for him, unable to concentrate on the episode of Solange that's playing on the TV. I haven't watched the show since the night Dean was over, and I'm startled to realize it's not as much fun without him. I kind of enjoyed his running commentary, and how every 5 minutes or so he'd pause the show to announce, "Alley Cat, I have no fucking idea what's going on." It was cute. Oh, brother. Did I really just use the word cute in conjunction with Dean? I jot down a mental note to never say that out loud. He'd probably accuse me of having a crush on him. Footsteps thump in the hall, causing anticipation to rise in my chest. My heart does a silly, unwelcome flip when two knocks thud against my door. It's a manly sounding thump, thump, and when I swing the door open, Dean is standing in front of me. He's wearing faded jeans with a rip in one knee, a hunter green cable knit sweater beneath his briar jacket, and a black wool hat. Hey, I'm suddenly feeling awkward about this whole situation.
Hey.
He tugs off his hat as he strides inside. I notice his hair is wet, as if he's just come out of the shower. His gaze travels to the television.
Oh shit, what did I miss? Did Marie Therese manage to find a copy of Claude's will?
I don't know. I started the episode about 3 minutes before you showed up.
Kay, well, if you watch any more without me, shoot me a text to let me know what happens.
He tosses his hat and coat on the couch. I swiftly pick them up. Nope, these are coming with us. Boots, too, I add, gesturing to the black Timberlands he's in the process of removing.
Where are we taking them?
My room. I don't want there to be any evidence of your presence in this room in case you forgot something. This is a covert operation.
Whatever you say, Mrs. Bond.
In my bedroom, I drop his stuff on the desk chair. Then shit gets awkward again because Dean is standing there, 5 feet away, smirking at me. What? I mutter defensively. He shrugs.
Nothing.
But he still doesn't make a single move toward me. You're just going to stand there? Come here and do something, damn it. The corners of his mouth quirk up.
Do what?
I'm even more frazzled. I don't know, kiss me, take my shirt off, anything. Dean crosses his arms over his broad chest.
Nuh-uh. If you want me, come and get me.
Aggravation climbs up my spine. So we're playing games now?
Nah, no games.
He lifts one dark blonde eyebrow.
But I'm still not convinced this isn't some sort of trickery on your part.
What, you think I invited you over so I could fuck with you? I offer a saucy smile. Sweetie, I invited you over so I could fuck you. Period. He chuckles, and the deep, husky sound goes straight to my core. Oh, screw it. If he needs me to make the first move, I'll make the first move. It's not like we both don't want the same thing. Without a word, I bridge the distance and sweep my palm over his cheek. Dean gives a slight intake of breath. His face is completely clean-shaven, and I find myself longing for some stubble. I liked the way it felt against my skin last time. But unlike last time, I'm stone-cold sober tonight. There's no way I can use alcohol as an excuse for what I'm doing right now. I glide my hand over the back of his scalp and slide my fingers through his damp hair. As our eyes lock, I tug his head down and our lips meet in a feather-light kiss. No tongue, no urgency. It's an exploratory, hey, how are ya, between our mouths, before I pull back to look at him. Sweet Lord, his gaze contains so much raw, palpable heat, it startles a gasp out of me. The next thing I know, Dean's mouth crashes over mine again, and there's nothing exploratory about this kiss. It's pure hunger. His tongue thrusts into my mouth in a deep, punishing stroke. I hear myself moan, but Dean swallows the desperate sound with another greedy kiss, his warm hands clamping on my hips as he kisses me until I'm breathless. My heart is pounding. Holy hell, I'm insanely turned on. So is he. I feel the proof of it when he grips my ass and yanks me against him, grinding our lower bodies together.
You get me so fucking hard,
he growls. He rotates his hips, bending slightly so his shaft lines up in the cradle of my thighs. Then he rocks forward and his erection rubs over my clit, triggering a shockwave of pleasure that sizzles along my spine. Naked, I choke out. Now. With another chuckle, he ignores the frantic request and kisses me again. His lips are as greedy as before, utterly dominating. And just when I think this frenetic, passionate makeout session couldn't possibly get any hotter, Dean abruptly slows it down. His tongue tickles my bottom lip. His perfect teeth give it a tiny nip, Then he buries his face in my neck and lavishes it with soft, open-mouthed kisses that leave shivers in their wake. Since he doesn't seem to be in any hurry to get naked, I take matters into my own hands. I capture the hem of his sweater and draw the heavy material upward. I get it up to his collarbone, and he lifts his head to help with the rest of the way. The moment his sweater comes off, I eagerly sweep my palms over his warm, bare flesh. He makes a husky noise and threads his fingers through my hair, watching me with lust-filled eyes as I caress his chest. This guy is built. I damn near purr with happiness as I explore the hard planes of his chest. I trace each sculpted pack with my index finger, then target one flat nipple and press down on it. He jerks, his breathing going heavier. I trail that same finger down the line of dark blonde hair leading to his waistband, then flatten my palm and stroke the defined ridge of his abs. Dean's lips find my neck again. With deft fingers, he works the material of my shirt up and eases it over my head. He sucks in a breath.
No bra.
Seemed redundant. Pleasure ignites inside of me when he cups my breasts. He sweeps his thumb over my nipples and groans softly.
You don't know how badly I've wanted to play with these tits again.
My head lolls to the side, and he takes advantage and licks a path from my neck to my ear. He sucks lightly on the lobe, and I sag against his warm chest, losing myself in sensation. Dean continues to tease my nipples, but uses only the pads of his fingers. He's barely making contact, and my nipples tighten painfully every time his fingertips ghost over them.
Perfect handful.
He squeezes both breasts, his thumbs dancing along the underside of each one.
And these nipples, Jesus Christ, baby.
He dips his head, and I cry out when he flicks his tongue over my right nipple. After all that torturous non-attention, the firm, purposeful lick he gives me is like an electric shock through my body.
Hell yeah,
he groans.
I could suck on these sweet little nipples all night long.
And then he follows through, at least with the sucking part. He closes his lips around the hard bud and draws it into his hot, wet mouth. Oh, fuck, I gasp.
Feel good?
His breath tickles my breasts as he kisses his way to my other nipple.
Is it making you wet?
I mumble something unintelligible because he's licking playful circles around my nipple and I no longer remember how to create words with my mouth.
What was that?
He teases. More gibberish comes out. Dean laughs.
Okay then, I guess I'll have to find out for myself.
He hooks both hands under my waistband and tugs my leggings and panties off. After I kick them away, he wastes no time bringing his hand between my legs. I don't expect it when he slides two fingers inside me. Oh my God, I moan. The wave of pleasure nearly knocks me off my feet.
Jesus, you are wet. Dripping wet, baby.
A growl leaves his mouth. His eyes are feral, glittering.
If I don't lick this pussy right this second, I'm going to lose my mind.
I expect him to push me onto the bed. He surprises me by backing me up against the door. He sinks to his knees and wrenches my legs apart, and I shiver when I see him peering up at me, lust darkening his gaze. He licks his lips, and I almost come on the spot. Dean smiles wickedly when he sees my expression.
You want my mouth on you? My tongue?
I manage a jerky nod. When his mouth nears my core, I make a strangled sound. When his tongue finds my clit, someone else makes a sound. It's not me, and it's not Dean. And as Hannah's cheerful voice echoes in the hallway, the two of us freeze in place. Me on my feet, Dean on his knees, as if we're performing a perverted tableau for a live audience. Hey, Hannah calls out. I just came back to grab my sheet music. I forgot to bring it with me to Garrett's. Dean's head tilts up, but his lips are still centimeters from my pussy. Panic flutters through me when Hannah's footsteps get ominously close to my bedroom door.
Allie?
I press my lips together. If I say nothing, maybe she'll assume I went out. But no, there's no way she can't see the light under my door, and she had to have noticed my coat, shoes, and purse out in our common area.
Allie?
She raps on the door. I look helplessly at Dean. The evil gleam in his eyes has me narrowing my own. I don't know what he's planning, but I... Oh, God. He drags the tip of his tongue over my clit, and now my eyes are widening in horror because I'm pretty sure I just moaned.
I can hear you in there,
Hannah accuses. Yep, I moaned. I clear the gravel from my throat.
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, I was...
Dean peppers kisses up and down my slit. I forget how to talk again.
Oh gosh,
I squeeze out.
I didn't hear you before.
There's a pause. A long, worrisome pause.
Allie?
Hannah trails off, coughs, then keeps going.
Am I interrupting you while you're, riding the solo train to Orgasmville?
Dean's shoulders begin to shake uncontrollably. His muffled laughter vibrates against my clit, and the resulting effect rivals the good vibrations of every sex toy in my nightstand.
A horse, yes,
is wrenched from my throat. It's meant for Dean, but Hannah, of course, doesn't know that.
Shit,
she blurts out.
I'm sorry, leaving now, I swear.
Her hurried footsteps retreat down the hall. I hear her moving around in the common room. Then the front door shuts. My heart is still racing as I lower my gaze to Dean.
I thought she'd never leave,
he rasps.
Chapter 14. Dean. Allie comes faster than I expect. My tongue barely touches her clit before she's trembling and moaning and rocking against my mouth. I guess the idea of almost getting caught is as big a turn-on for her as it is for me. Damn, I wish I'd gotten her off when Hannah was still behind the door. That would have been so fucking hot. A dirty little secret just for us. But this is good, too. Allie riding my face like she's a jockey and I'm her championship racehorse. Scratch that, it's more than good. My dick is an iron spike trying to chisel its way out of my jeans. And each time her inner muscles bear down on the two fingers I've got lodged inside her, I feel an answering jolt in my balls. When her body finally relaxes, I give her clit one last teasing lick, then hop to my feet. You okay there? I grin at her hazy expression. I'm great. She sounds sleepy and sated, but she snaps to attention when I reach for my zipper. I let my pants drop to the floor. I'm not wearing boxers because, what was it she said before? It's redundant. When my cock springs free, I grip it in my right hand and give it a much-needed stroke. Christ, I'm painfully hard. I eat up the side of her naked body. She's shorter than the chicks I usually go for, but I'm okay with that. And she's somehow slender and curvy at the same time. I take in every appetizing detail from her perky tits to her smooth, pale skin, to the pink paradise between her legs. I was almost expecting to be let down in some way, that my week's worth of lusting for this girl had exaggerated her appeal. It hadn't. Thank God she changed her mind because I want her as badly as I did before. My gaze travels back to her face, resting on her sexy mouth for a moment, then drops back to her completely bare mound. I groan in frustration. What's wrong? She asks huskily. I'm trying to decide what I want more. Those pretty lips wrapped around my cock, or your tight pussy squeezing the hell out of it. I slowly pump my erection as I consider the two equally tempting options. Give me your mouth. Her blue eyes narrow. What if I don't want to? I squeeze my swollen tip before sliding my fist down to the base, wagging my full length at her. Don't act like you didn't like sucking on this the other night. When she doesn't answer, I step forward and press my naked body against hers. She shivers. I take her hand, wrap it around my shaft, and she shivers harder. I dip my head to whisper in her ear. Please, baby. I've been such a good boy. I've waited a whole week for this. Don't I deserve a reward for my patience? I rub the side of her neck with my lips. I kiss her jaw. Such. I kiss my way up to her mouth. A good boy. Allie makes a breathy noise and moves her hand along my shaft. Then she sinks to her knees without a word. My dick twitches in excitement. She parts her lips, licks them again. I can't take my eyes off her mouth. I want it on me, but the ache in my balls warns me that the second there's any kind of suction on my cock, it won't be long before I explode. One flick of the tongue. That's all Allie is able to do before I'm yanking her to her feet.
No, not gonna happen,
I grind out. I'm gonna come too fast. Outrage flashes in her eyes. Oh my God, you're such a mouth tease.
Don't care. I want your pussy. Get on the bed.
I half expect her to argue with me because she seems to get off on that, but she's surprisingly obedient. In a heartbeat, she stretches out on the mattress, opening her legs enticingly. Fuck me. Her pussy lips are glistening. I can still taste her on my tongue, and now I'm trying to decide whether to go down on her a second time, because, holy hell, I want another taste. Little Dean both loves and hates the idea, cautioning that if my mouth so much as touches her again, I'm going to cum sans stimulation all over her goddamn sheets. And where's the fun in that? Drawing a breath, I settle on my knees in front of her and ease forward so I'm cradled by the softness of her thighs. Allie reaches out a hand and grips my shaft, and I almost shoot right then. I hadn't noticed her nails before. They're bright red. Downright sinful as she scrapes them along my length. She rubs the little slit that's leaking moisture, and I shudder, pushing my cock head toward her opening.
Condom, she reminds me.
Shit, I can't believe I almost forgot to suit up. Usually it's second nature to me, like throwing on my pads before I hit the ice. I fling my arm over the side of the bed and feel around on the floor until my fingers collide with my pants. I fish out the condom I've tucked in my pocket. A moment later, I'm between her legs again. I watch her face as I fist my cock and guide it closer. The tip nudges her, demanding entrance. She visibly trembles. With her cheeks flushed and her blonde hair fanned out behind her, she paints the sexiest picture I've ever seen. We both sigh happily when I sink into her tight sheath. Fuck, I love sex. I don't care if men and women were created by God or evolution or little green Martians. I'm just eternally grateful that someone gave us dicks and pussies and a fun way to use them. I bend down to brush my lips over Allie's, which changes the angle slightly, pushing me deeper inside her. A shudder of pleasure overtakes me, centers me. I pull my hips back, then ease back in, slowly, deliberately. Allie's breathing gets choppier.
Stop teasing me.
You think this is teasing? I splay my palm on her flat belly, my thumb lightly grazing her clit. When she arches her hips, I move my hand away and she wails in disappointment. I chuckle. That would be teasing.
Oh my God, I hate you. Touch me, she orders. Touch me and fuck me and make me come again.
I narrow my eyes. You weren't this bossy last time, or was I too drunk to remember it? Allie sits up in an impressive show of flexibility and loops her arms around my neck. She's in my lap now, grinding down on my dick.
I was bossier, but that's because you needed a lot more instruction.
Bullshit, you were panting in orgasm the second I touched you.
How do you know I wasn't faking?
She taunts, and then she rocks her hips and we both groan. I still her by clasping her waist.
Were you?
I'm suddenly reminded of Logan's confession that Grace faked an orgasm the first time they hooked up. I'd ragged him mercilessly about it. Now I'm horrified that Allie might have done the same thing. She is a drama major, after all. She says,
No, I wasn't faking. And relief courses through me. She grudgingly adds, You're really good in bed. I'm great in bed, I correct, then give an upward thrust that makes her gasp in delight. Do that again, she begs. Do it for me. I fall onto my back so she's astride me and reach up to tweak one puckered nipple. Ride me until I shoot. Her mouth curves in a wicked smile. Oh yeah, she likes that idea. Bracing her hands on my abs, she raises herself up, then sinks down on me before I can blink. There's a hot blonde riding my dick and I'm in heaven. Her perky tits sway as she moves over me, and when her hair falls onto her forehead, she pushes the golden strands away and keeps her gaze fixed on mine. Undulating, grinding, driving me crazy. Touch me. Her don't mess with me expression prompts me to bring my hand to where we're joined and obediently rub her clit with my thumb. Pleasure floods her eyes, but the orders don't stop there. Slower. Her breathing quickens. Do it in little circles. No, not that much pressure. Softer. Oh my gosh, yeah, like that. I ain't gonna lie, I appreciate how blunt she is about telling me exactly what she needs. After all, she knows her body a hell of a lot better than I do. But I'm a quick learner. It isn't long before her words become moans, and she starts fucking my cock in earnest. She's lying on top of me now, her lips so close to my ear that every sexy noise she makes goes straight to my balls. My hips snap up over and over again as our bodies slap together and our mouths meet in a sloppy kiss. I'm still kissing her when she starts to come. She bites down on my lower lip and gives a low cry, and the mind-blowing sensation of her pussy spasming around me triggers my own release. I go off like a rocket, pleasure blurring my vision and clouding my brain. I'm surprised the condom doesn't burst from the massive load I just poured into it. What the? As I float down from the high, I register a coppery flavor in my mouth. I touch my lip. My fingertips come back stained with blood. Jesus, Allie had bitten me hard enough to draw blood. I choke out a laugh. She lifts her head at the strangled sound. Her hair is a tangled mess, her eyelids so heavy they're nearly shut. What? Alarm fills her face. Oh no, you're bleeding. I laugh even harder. I'm so freaking glad I didn't abandon my pursuit of her. This chick who claws and bites and fucks with total abandon. I've never had this much fun in my life. It's nothing, I assure her. She clearly disagrees, sliding off me and reaching for the nightstand. She comes back with a tissue and presses it to my lip. I'm sorry, does it hurt? Not in the slightest, I answer cheerfully. I take the tissue from her hand and toss it over the side of the bed. Then I rearrange my body so my head is on the pillow instead of the mattress and tug her toward me. Allie nestles all that naked goodness beside me and rests her head on my shoulder. Endless supply of wishes, she mumbles. Huh? Your dick, she sighs. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Damn right it is. I told you I've got a great cock. I grin up at the ceiling and stroke her side boob. We lie there in silence for a bit, both of us still catching our breath. Eventually she murmurs, So what's this kitty game you mentioned? It takes a second to figure out what she's talking about. Oh, the Hurricanes. My new defensive coordinator is forcing me to volunteer at the elementary school, so I'm helping out as assistant coach of the hockey team. That sounds like fun. I can't believe I'm saying this, but it is. Fun, I mean. And tonight's game was a lot more exciting than I'd anticipated. The Hurricanes faced off with the team that's leading their division, and every kid on the ice tonight played at a level that impressed me. Oh, and the winning goal was a wrist shot, courtesy of Robbie Olsen. Damned if my chest didn't overflow with pride. I volunteered at a drama camp every summer when I was in high school, Allie tells me. I always had a blast, and I was so bummed when the camp shut down. They held it at this old theater in Brooklyn, but the area was rezoned, so the city tore it down, and now it's a computer store. She sits abruptly. Oh, crap, I forgot to do something. Her body drapes over my chest as she leans toward the nightstand. I can't resist capturing one nipple in my mouth and suckling on it. The tight bud feels so fucking good on my tongue. I suck harder, and Allie shivers before batting my head away. Hold that thought. I don't want to forget this again. She grabs her phone, and I see her pulling up a reminder app. She types something. From my vantage point, it appears to be train ticket.
Train ticket?
Yes, Mr. Nosy. She sets the phone down. I'm reminding myself to book my ticket to New York. I need to do it way in advance this time because it gets really busy on Thanksgiving. Last year, I ended up having to take a later train that didn't get in until 4 a.m.
You spending Thanksgiving with your parents?
She stretches out beside me again. Just my dad. She pauses.
My mom passed away.
Ah, I'm sorry to hear that. I stroke my palm along her bare arm. Then I note how weird it is to be lying in bed with her, just talking. But I'm still limp from our trip to the bone zone. The jaws of life couldn't pry me off this bed right now.
Are you close with your dad?
I ask. Her head lightly bumps my shoulder as she nods. Very close. He's the best man I've ever known.
What does he do?
I'm not sure why I'm asking all these questions. It's not a habit of mine to try to get to know the chicks I'm sleeping with. But Allie is different. She's Wellesley's best friend, for starters, and it doesn't feel right to wham-bam thank you, mammer. He was a scout for the Bruins, she reveals.
No shit.
I'm highly impressed.
He must know his hockey, then. Did he play?
In college. He was drafted by the Kings, but he tore his ACL during training camp, so his career kind of ended before it even began. I think he was relieved, though. He always says he was better at finding the talent than being the talent.
Still, that's a tough job, I point out. He must have been traveling all the frickin' time.
He was. That part sucked, how often he was away. But Mom and I coped. After she died, Dad would take me with him when he could, but most of the time I stayed with my aunt in Queens.
Is he retired now?
She stiffens slightly. Yeah, he is. Another pause. So, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? Where are you from again, Connecticut?
Yep, Greenwich, and Manhattan. My family split our time between the two, but I went to high school in Connecticut.
Prep school, she corrects.
I tweak her hair. Still considered high school.
Sure, but I bet you got a ton more perks there than I did at Washington Public in Brooklyn, you spoiled brat.
I can hear in her voice that she's teasing.
And you didn't answer what you're doing for the holiday.
I'm not sure yet, I admit. Timing-wise, I'm kind of screwed. We play Harvard 2 days after Thanksgiving.
So, Greenwich isn't that far from here. Neither is Manhattan. You can hop a train or flight to either and still be back in time for the game.
My family won't be in Greenwich or Manhattan. They'll be at the house in St. Bart's. Allie sits up again, her mouth agape. Then she starts to laugh.
Well, la-dee-da.
In the next breath, she affects a flawless British accent.
Why, yes, dear boy, my family does indeed own a home in St. Bart's. Father is an avid sailor, and mother simply adores sipping mimosas on our private beach.
I poke her in the side. You're just jealous.
Of course I am. You have a house in St. Bart's? That's badass.
Her expression is thoughtful.
Your parents are lawyers, right?
I nod.
I didn't realize lawyers made tropical island beach house kind of money.
It depends on the lawyer. My dad is one of the top criminal defense attorneys in the country, so yeah, he's doing all right, I say wryly. And Mom specializes in real estate law, which is also pretty lucrative. But they both came from money, too.
Let me guess, Grandpa's Sebastian and Kendrick were oil barons? For some reason, I'm stupidly pleased that she remembered my middle names.
Nope, there's no oil in our family. Grandpa Seb owned a shipping company. Well, he still owns it, but a board of directors runs it now. And Gramps Kendrick was a real estate developer.
Like Donald Trump?
Pretty much. Did you ever go into Manhattan when you lived in Brooklyn? I frown as something occurs to me.
Hey, how come you don't have a Brooklyn accent?
Neither of my parents was originally from New York, so maybe that's why. Dad's from Ohio, Mom grew up in California. I talk like them, I guess.
Anyway, of course I've been to Manhattan. Do you think I spent my days hiding under the Brooklyn Bridge like a troll?
I snicker. Ever spend any time on the Upper East Side?
Sure, I had a friend who lived...
Her eyes widen.
Holy shit. Hayward Plaza? I just put that together.
The awe on her face makes me grin.
You own the Hayward Plaza Hotel?
Allie exclaims. Me personally, no, but I suppose I might inherit it one day. My mom's side of the family, the Haywards, owns real estate all over the globe. Hotels mostly, but we got this cool condominium in Abu Dhabi that's basically made entirely of glass. It's...
Okay, you need to stop talking now because you're making me want to punch you. I honestly didn't realize you were this rich. I'm not sure if it's a turn-on or a lady boner killer.
Turn-on, I say instantly. Everything about me turns you on, remember? She snorts.
Uh-huh, if you say so.
I flash a cocky grin and start pointing at various parts of my body. My face? Turn on. Chest? Turn on. I'd roll over and show you my ass, but we both know the answer will be turn on, so I'll skip that one. Dick? Turn the fuck on. And then we get to the non-physical awesomeness that is Dean.
Speaking in the third person, not a turn-on.
I ignore the jab. I'm adorable, first off. My sense of humor is stellar, obvs.
Obvs, she echoes dryly.
I'm extraordinarily skilled in the art of conversation. She nods.
When it's about yourself, of course.
Of course. I pretend to think it over some more. Oh, and I'm a mind reader. No lie. I always know what the other person is thinking.
Yeah? What am I thinking right now?
Allie challenges. That you want me to shut up and fuck you again. She shakes her head in dismay.
God damn it. That's actually what I was thinking.
I smirk at her and tap my forehead. Told you, mind reader.
Congratulations, she sighs. How many condoms did you bring?
One.
Underachiever. Stick your hand in that drawer. Should be a few in there.
I open the nightstand drawer, which, well, looky here, contains more than just rubbers. My hand emerges with a 7-inch silicone vibrator in a comical shade of pink. Aw, who's this little fella? I wave the dildo up and down, and it's flexible enough that it flops around like a real dick. Allie snatches it from my hand.
Little, you better take that back or else you'll give Winston a complex.
Winston? Are you kidding me?
Oh, come on, you're telling me he doesn't look like a Winston?
I study the pink sex toy. For something that's shaped like a cock, it's actually ridiculously girly. And Winston is a girly name if I've ever heard one. Huh, I guess he does. She nods earnestly.
I have a talent for picking suitable dick names.
I promptly scowl at her. Don't get any ideas about naming mine, you hear me?
Why? Are you scared I'll come up with something better than what you've already got? Her tone is pure sweetness.
Who says I named my dick?
Allie slants her head in challenge. Are you saying you didn't?
I shrug in response.
Ha! I knew it! What's his name?
My scowl deepens.
Come on, tell me, she begs. I promise I won't make fun of you.
After a 5-second internal debate, I capitulate. It's Little Dean. That makes her howl in laughter.
Oh my God, of course it is. You are such a dork.
I pinch her thigh in retaliation, but she only laughs harder. So I shut her up by rolling her over and slamming my mouth down on hers. She immediately parts her lips to grant my tongue access, and soon we're making out and rubbing up against each other like cats in heat. I ease my mouth away and rasp. Feel like tying me up again?
Nope, I've got something else in mind.
Damn, but I was really excited about it.
Stop complaining, sweetie. Trust me, you're going to like this.
It's her turn to roll me over, and I groan as she starts kissing her way down my body. A moment later, her warm mouth engulfs my cock, and yeah, Little Dean sure ain't complaining. Chapter 15. Dean. Saturday night's game against Yale starts off promising. After Garrett scores an early goal, we successfully manage to keep Yale out of our zone for most of the first period. Well, except for when Brodowski foolishly gets out of position and hands Yale's center and right wing a breakaway. Thanks to that bonehead move, I'm faced with an odd man rush, and it's pure blind luck that Yale doesn't get a goal out of it. The shot smacks off the pipe. I dive toward the puck and snap off a quick pass to Hunter. Our forwards blessedly fly past the center line into Yale territory. While I do my damnedest not to strangle Brodowski as we whiz toward the bench for a line change, I squirt water through my face guard and spit it at my feet. Sweat pours down my face from the exertion it took to single-handedly defend our zone. Beside me, Brodowski is properly shame-faced. "I messed up the coverage," he mutters to me. I grit my teeth and say, "Happens to the best of us," because that's what you're supposed to say when you're part of a team. We don't play the blame game here at Briar. But if anyone is to blame for that breakaway, it's Brodowski, sure as shit. "What happened to your lip?" he asks, studying the thin red cut splitting my bottom lip. "Sex," I grunt in response. On my other side, Tucker snickers. He'd asked me the same thing this morning, and I'd given him the same non-answer. On the other side of Tucker, one of our freshman wingers looks highly impressed. "You're my idol, dude," he calls out. The first line shift lasts for the rest of the period, and we hit the locker room with a lead of 1-0. For the first time in weeks, morale is high. The second period starts off exactly like the first. Another early goal, this time courtesy of Fitzy. We're leading 2-0 now, and Yale is feeling the pressure. As a result, they come at us hard, playing aggressively and taking shot after shot at goal. Patrick Corson, our goaltender, is nowhere near as talented as our old goalie Sims, who graduated last year. He also has a bad habit of skating too far from the crease, so when the opposing winger connects with a centering pass from his D-man, Corson isn't in position to stop the puck. But it's all right, we're still in the lead for, oh, about another 30 seconds. I'm hopping out for my shift when the same winger who just scored does an impressive wraparound and flicks another shot past Corson. The fucker scores again. Two goals in less than a minute, and just like that, our lead becomes a tie. The rest of the second is scoreless. In the third, everything falls apart for us. I can't even count all the things that go wrong. It's one bullshit error after the other. Logan takes a 2-minute penalty for slashing. Yale scores on the power play 2-3. Wilkes lands in the sin bin for hooking. Yale scores on the power play 2-4. Corson is faked out by a winger who moves as if he's shooting low, then snaps the puck high. It flies into the net, top left corner. Yale scores, and this time we weren't even shorthanded. 2-5. Hunter slaps in a one-timer. 3-5. I take a brainless tripping penalty. Yale scores at the power play. 3-6. The final buzzer sounds, and we've lost our third game of the season. Fun times. O'Shea pulls me aside before I can board the bus. He already yelled at me and Logan in the locker room for taking foolish penalties that resulted in two goals for the other team, and I sincerely hope he's not gearing up to do it again. I'm in a foul mood, and my brain-to-mouth filters aren't working at full capacity right now. If O'Shea pushes my buttons, I don't know that I can control my temper. "What is it, coach?" I ask as politely as possible. His dark eyes flick over me, and then he reaches into his pocket and pulls out a BlackBerry, which momentarily distracts me because I can't remember the last time I saw a BlackBerry. Doesn't pretty much everyone have an iPhone these days?
"Anything you'd like to tell me?" O'Shea says coolly.
I am literally drawing a blank. About what? His jaw ticks. Without a word, he hands me the phone. There's a slight queasiness in my gut as I glance at the screen. It's open to an Instagram account I don't recognize, but the photo in question features a slew of familiar faces, including my own. I'm not sure who took it, but it was obviously some chick who was at Malone's on Thursday night, because the hashtags below the image are #hockeyhotties and #sexybriarboys. I'll be honest, I'm not really seeing the problem here. The picture shows the guys and me clinking our shot glasses together in cheers,
We'd ordered the round of shots before switching to pitchers of beer. And sure, we're drinking, but none of us are minors, and it's not like we'd gotten caught with our pants down hanging brain. We're just sitting in a booth, for Christ's sake.
Still have nothing to say?
I raised my gaze to O'Shea's. This was taken on Thursday night. We were celebrating Fitzy's birthday.
I can see that. And exactly how much celebrating did you do?
If you're asking if we got sloppy drunk, the answer is no. That doesn't appease him.
Do you remember what I told you in Jensen's office the other day? I said no boozing, no drugs, and no brawling.
We weren't boozing, sir. We just had a few drinks.
Are you aware of Breyer's policy regarding drug and alcohol restrictions for student athletes? If not, I'd be happy to provide you with a copy of it.
Oh, come on, coach. You can't expect us not to drink. We're in college, for Pete's sake. And we're all over 21.
Watch your tone, De Laurentiis, he snaps. And yes, the other coaches and I do expect that of you. As long as you play hockey for this school, you're to follow the rules set by your coaches and the NCAA and conduct yourself accordingly.
Sir, I take a calming breath, but I don't feel calm. I'm pissed about tonight's loss and not in the mood to get chewed out for having a couple goddamn drinks. My teammates and I conducted ourselves superbly the night in question, so rest assured you have nothing to worry about.
Don't get smart with me, son. We have a serious problem here.
No, we don't. I cut in. I think you're overreacting. We went to a bar and had a few beers. It's what we do, okay? But hey, if this is something you're truly concerned about, maybe you should run it by Coach Jensen and see what he says. My mouth twists in a sneer. He is the head coach of this team, right? Shouldn't he be the one to handle this serious problem? I regret the words the moment they exit my mouth, but goddammit, I've had it up to here with this man. Predictably, O'Shea doesn't take kindly to having his authority challenged.
Chad has given me free rein over the defensemen, and it would serve you well to remember that, he spits out. When it comes to the defense, I handle any issues that arise, and this, Mr. De Laurentiis, is an issue. You will not indulge in alcohol or drugs of any kind while you're a member of this team, you hear me?
For Christ's sake, I'm done with this shit.
You got it, coach. Can I get on the bus now?
Anger reddens his face.
You want to join your teammates on the bus? Then you'd better take some fucking responsibility for your actions. Acknowledge that you did something wrong.
I'm seconds away from losing it. My hands ball into fists, but by some miracle, I manage to stop myself from hitting him.
Out of curiosity, are you planning on delivering this same lecture to everyone else in that picture, or am I just special?
I plan on talking to all of them, don't you worry. I choose to speak to you first because I was already aware of your history with alcohol abuse. He lifts one eyebrow and holy fucking shit, I almost let my fist fly. My history with alcohol abuse? Fuck that and fuck him. He knows damn well I don't have a problem with alcohol. He's just being a spiteful ass and trying to find new ways to punish me for what happened with Miranda. But this? Referencing the one time I drank too much when I was a goddamn teenager and using it to imply I'm a drunk? I'm so done with this shit.
Thank you for your concern, I say pleasantly. It's much appreciated, really.
Then I leave him standing on the pavement and stalk toward the bus. Fortunately, he doesn't stop me. I'm still fighting to gather the scattered pieces of my composure as I slide into my usual seat next to Tucker, who shoots me a quizzical look.
What was that about?
Absolutely nothing. I fish my earbuds out of my pocket and pop them in. If Tuck considers that rude, he doesn't say anything. He just lowers his gaze to his phone, and a few minutes later, we're on the road. The rock track that comes up on my iPod shuffle only riles me up more, so I pull up the playlist Wellesley made for me this summer and try to calm down to the sounds of smooth jazz and easy crooning. Nope, not working either. I switch off the iPod and listen to the low chatter of my teammates instead. Logan and Fitzy are babbling about a first shooter video game that Fitzy is reviewing for the college blog. Hollis is trying to convince someone to meet him at his dorm.
I'll make it worth your while, baby.
Which means he's either on the phone or he and his seatmate just came out to the entire bus. Corson and his seatmate are arguing about who the hottest actress on Game of Thrones is, the chick who plays Daenerys or the broad who plays Cersei.
You're both wrong, Garrett calls out. Melisandre is the hottest, hands down. The Red Witch? No way. She gave birth to a gross shadow creature. That pussy's tainted, dude.
Spoiler alert, Wilkes says irritably.
I was planning on starting season one this weekend.
Don't bother, Fitzy advises. The show sucks. Read the books instead.
I swear to God, if you tell us to read the books one more time, I'm gonna strangle you, Corson announces. I mean it. I'll straight up strangle you, Colin.
Our resident nerd shrugs.
Can't help it if the books are better.
I don't join in, but secretly I agree with Fitz. The books are better. Though I doubt anyone will believe me if I said I read them. With the exception of my roommates, most of my teammates don't take me seriously. I'm pretty sure they think I'm only attending Harvard Law because my rich parents bought my way in. Doesn't bother me, if I'm being honest. I get a kick out of it when people underestimate my intelligence. Half the time, I willingly play into the dumb blonde stereotype just for funsies. As the chatter continues, I tune everyone out and reach for my phone. I don't know what compels me to open the Facebook app and search her name. I'm on autopilot, barely aware of what I'm doing until the search results pop up. There are dozens of Miranda O'Shea's on Facebook, but none of them are the one I'm looking for. I do another search, this time with her name and the words Duke University. I have no idea if she even goes there, but it seems like a good place to start. When we were dating, all Miranda ever talked about was how much she wanted to get into Duke. This time, her profile appears on the screen. I study the small thumbnail pic. She hasn't changed in 4 years. She still has the same round face, the same unruly dark curls, the same brown eyes. To my dismay, her profile is private. I can't see anything except her profile pic and cover photo, which is a generic beach landscape. I stare at the little green button on the top of the page. Add friend. I don't know what possesses me to click it, but I do. With the friend request sent, I turn off the app and put my phone away. Tucker isn't on his anymore either. He's leaning back against the headrest with his eyes closed, and I decide to follow his lead. We've got 2 more hours until we reach Boston, then another hour to Hastings. Might as well get some sleep and try to forget tonight's disastrous game. The nap does the trick. I wake up feeling centered and relaxed, and when I peer out the window and wait for the next road sign to appear, I discover we're only a half hour from campus. In the seat beside me, Tucker is also awake, typing on his phone again.
Dude, are you dating someone?
I can't stop myself from asking. I've barely seen Tucker lately, and we live in the same house.
No, he says dismissively.
You sure about that?
I think I would know if I was dating someone.
But there's an odd note in his voice, which I can't for the life of me decipher.
Where have you been then? You're never home anymore.
Tucker shrugs.
I go to class, study at the library, chill in my room.
He pauses.
I crashed at a friend's place in Boston a few times.
What friend? Before he can answer, my phone rings, and I swear he looks relieved. I make a note to cross-examine him again later. It'll be good practice for law school. I pick up when I see Bo's name and give him the usual greeting.
Maxwell, what's shaking?
Hey, how was the game?
Loud music blasts in the background, but I can hear him loud and clear.
Shitty?
Yeah, I read the recap on the college sports blog. You got your asses kicked.
Why'd you even ask how it went if you already knew the answer?
I was being polite.
I have to snicker.
Anyway, party at my place tonight. I know it's late, but I'm still extending an invite. Figured you might need something to help take your mind off the beating you got from Yale.
I consider it, but only briefly.
Nah, thanks, but I'm not in the mood.
A tired breath slips out. It's been a crap night.
All the more reason for you to come out. It's a hot girl smorgasbord in here. And you know women, they can't resist a mopey, brooding man. Tell them how sad you are about losing your game and they'll be begging you to let them make you feel better.
He pauses.
Wait, unless you're still dealing with, equipment malfunctions?
No, we're all better now.
Nice. Does that mean Bella finally threw you another bone?
Bella, I say blankly.
Yeah, you know, the chick you imprinted on.
I chuckle. Right. Yeah, she did. I keep my response vague because Tucker is right there and he's not allowed to know about Allie and me. And, shit, I guess that means I'm not allowed to harass him for being so secretive lately. What with this pot kettle situation we're in. Good, then you're all fixed. Now come over and put that newly functioning dong to good use. Nah, I say again. I'm really not feeling it. But I am feeling something else. Because, as usual, the mere thought of Allie gets me hard. We'll connect sometime this week. Go out for beers or something.
Sounds good. Later, bro.
The second we hang up, I open a new text box. It'll be nearly 1 a.m. by the time I get home. That's absolutely booty call territory. But it's Saturday night, and Allie doesn't have classes tomorrow, so I figure I'm safe. Me. You plus me equals wild animal sex tonight? She responds right away. Good, she's still up. Her. You equals tempting minus me equals already in bed divided by sleep. Me. Why the division sign? Her. I don't know, I was trying to answer in math. Bottom line, I'm in bed. Me. Perfect, that's right where I want you to be. I'll be there in 45. Her. You can't. Hannah's home. Me. We'll be very, very quiet. She won't even know I'm there. There's a short delay, and even before her answer appears, I know it's going to be a no. Her. Don't want to risk it. Let's wait for a night we can be alone. Me. You have no sense of adventure. Her. You have no patience. Me. Not when it comes to you. Her. We had sex 3 times last night. I'm sure that'll tide you over till we see each other again. Me. And when will that be? Her. Tomorrow night, maybe? I'll let you know. Me. Fine. Me. By the way, totally gonna think of you when I'm jerking off tonight. Her. That's cool. I just fingered myself and pretended it was you. I groan out loud. Tucker swivels his head toward me. He looks at my face, then my phone, then rolls his eyes. Seriously, man? You're sexting right beside me? Get a room. I wish I could get a room. Allie's room, to be exact. But clearly that's not in the cards tonight. And now, thanks to that little cock tease, I get to spend the rest of the bus ride with a stiffy. Chapter 16. Dean.
Do you have a girlfriend?
Dakota skips around the equipment room like a tiny pixie while I stack helmets on the shelf in front of me. Since the boys' locker room isn't exclusive to the hockey team, it's also the one used by every other male student at Hastings Elementary,